Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, September 17th, 2024. And I am very happy and excited to be with you today. I can't wait to get to the teaching segment because I had some big realizations, I think, or clarifications, which I will explain to you. So I'm jazzed. I'm just jazzed. And on top of being jazzed because I'm excited to talk about what I'm going to talk about, it's mid-September and autumn officially begins this Sunday. And it's just beautiful. And I know I give you a weather report every week, but the weather, you know, is definitely changing and shows that it is definitely changing like every day. It's still in the 80s. The temperatures are in the 80s during the day, but it's like it's a different 80s. It's a different 80s than the summer heat. It's not an oppressive heat. We've had the winds blowing right now, and I can see the reflection of the leaves through my blinds, and it's really neat. And it's not blowing a gale. It's just a little windy, you know, it's breezy, which is nice and cool. And the mornings and evenings are even cooler, and the evenings get cooler faster. The air conditioning rarely comes on, which is nice too. You know, that's a bonus. But the sun just seems softer, which may sound silly, but it does. And the light is just beautiful, coming from obviously a different direction as it goes through the day. But it's just, I don't know, it's just a magical time of year, I think. And it's an invigorating time of the year for me. I had, last week at the end of the show, I was mentioning that I had my major, like a major to-do list at the beginning of the year that included house projects and just things that I wanted to accomplish. And the last, next to the last thing, because the last thing is something I'll do in the winter. It's a little painting project. But the next to the last thing was to have the carpets cleaned. And I only have two rooms with carpeting in them, my reading room and my bedroom. And it's kind of like I put that off to the end, not on purpose. It just wasn't jumping up and down with its hair on fire in front of me like other things had been. So yesterday I got that done. And so that's like a completion. You know, the last little painting project is a desk that my grandpa made for me when I was a little kid. And I use it. I use it for, it sits in my office. I put stuff on it. It has three drawers, and I have things in the drawers. But it really needs a new paint job. It's just really been kind of beat up. And my intention was to do it before the kids came and stayed here. But even if I had, they wouldn't have used the desk. I mean, I know they wouldn't. So anyway, I'll do it for my own self. And it just needs to be honored and respected a little more with a new coat of paint. But painting, I think, is, to me, painting's a winter project. You know, when the weather's kind of bad outside it's just different. Painting is a winter, whether it's walls or a piece of furniture, or even painting, watercolors. It's, it just seems like it's more a winter project. So anyway, that will get done. But it felt really nice to have the carpets cleaned in those two rooms. They feel really nice to walk on. So just that kind of completion, you know. And then I'm thinking this morning I need to put a little bit of the furniture back in my reading room. I'd put it in the closet so that the floor was pretty clear. And I thought, well, you know, maybe when I put it back, I'll start my fall cleaning. Seems like I just did my spring cleaning, but that's what I mean by invigorating. You know, you've got, it's just energized. It's energized and I'm energized. So I figure, you know, take advantage of that. It's not like an everyday occurrence. But anyway, enough of that. Thank you for being here today. If you can, I invite you to join me in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. I have a really packed teaching segment again today that I'm, as I said, very excited about. And you are welcome to ask questions about it or comment on it in the chat room. And I will respond to them after the show because I am not a multitasker. I can't keep an eye on the chat room and stay on track of what I'm saying. But I will respond to them after the show. If you'd like a reading, pardon me, or a healing from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. And I'm available usually mid to later morning Pacific time into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I'm busy, just schedule a call or put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately and always do my best to meet your schedule if you schedule a call, and I will get back to you as soon as I can if you put in a callback request. Today is the full moon eclipse, and I'm sure if you listen to CA, you heard all about it from an expert. I am not one on astrology in any way, shape, or form. But we are celebrating on 12listen all day with reduced rates on calls and chats. I have a special price on my Fall is in the Air 15-minute time-based session just for today. It's a reduced rate, and I will be online about noon Pacific, maybe a little after, into the evening, and I would love to talk to you. Again, the full moon, I love full moons too. To me, they are just great energy. I don't feel like I'm run over by them. I love the light, and I love just the energy of them. So, you know, it's just a lovely day, isn't it? It's just a lovely, lovely day. I know a lot of people are very sensitive to the full moon, and I just like, man, soak it up, soak it up. And in fact, talking about soaking it up, and I know I've mentioned this, I mention it periodically, the full moon, you know, is obviously is energy packed, but you can take all your crystals outside and leave them and let them be charged by the energy of the full moon, by the light of the full moon. And, you know, what I do is I wash them first in salt water and just clean them that way and then take them outside. And, you know, it just kind of dawned on me right now, if you're going to do fall cleaning, you know, include your crystals and put them out there and let them get supercharged by the full moon, which they will be. And then, you know, it's a great way to just honor them as well. I have mine sitting all over the place, and they're just like my little helpers. They're my little space keepers. So that's just always a good thing to do. But we also, you know, today is a special day with the eclipse, but we also have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 12listen. If you want to be notified of our specials, go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. The first series, pardon me, of the You Empowered classes begins this Thursday. I can't believe it. It's Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific time on 12 Academy. That's September 19th. And I posted the class descriptions, which includes the link to the first class, in the chat room. But you can go to 12academy.com and see them if you're not in the chat room and can't be there. And that class, the class descriptions that I posted in the chat room includes the descriptions beyond this first series. But after Thursday night, they will not be listed, because Thursday night is the first class in this first series, which is the prerequisite for all other You Empowered classes. And I will run the first series again, but it won't be until after the first of the year, I'm sure. But it will, as I said, it's the prerequisite for all following classes. And all the following classes will be individual classes. So this series culminates in a meditation, and that meditation will begin every class that goes going forward. No matter what the topic is, we'll start with that meditation, because it gets you in your space. And when you're in a grounded, neutral space, it is just much easier to take in information, because you're just there. You know, you allow it to come in. You're not on top of it. You're just there. You're enjoying it and getting the most benefit you can from it. So it's important. It's important. And I really would love to have you join me for these classes, because they're good and they're powerful. And it's information that I've used now for almost 20 years, every day, almost 20 years. And It's my energetic foundation every day, and they're just the most important thing, I think, in all of that, in saying all of that, is that it really lets you know how powerful you are, how much, the only thing you have control over is you, And these classes prove to you that you can shift your energy in a heartbeat. They give you simple tools, and that's why it's called Empowered You, or You Empowered. You Empowered, that's the name of the classes. Anyway, I'd love to have you join me. And again, I just want to thank you for being here today and for listening however and whenever you do. There is programming 24/7 on 1-2 Radio, and you can find archives of all the shows from all the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. 1-2 Radio is a great source of information, inspiration, and support, so I encourage you to take advantage. And I want to say thanks to Jay for producing the show today and for all he does for us on 1-2 Radio. So let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song by Zingaya called Souls on Earth. And this is from the Souls on Earth CD and Sequoia Records. So enjoy it, and I will be back right after. You are listening to Empowerment. I am happy you are here. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that song. That's one of my favorites on that CD. as I said, pardon my voice. You know, I get talking and then that kind of hopefully disappears. But as I said, I was really excited. I have been really excited to talk to you today and share this segment with you. The topic today is, or topics, I guess you would say, are reality and illusion, faith and hope, and a little more on self-concept. And what's interesting is that makes a really beautiful circle. So what spurred it is last week, CA was on my show and we were talking about self-concept. And I wrote about it in the Power Peak, and it's a really huge deal. I mean, it's a really huge deal. And but during the discussion last week, something was said, and I can't remember exactly, but it was something that stuck in my head. Was said about oneness, you know, being a difficult concept to grasp, along with what's meant by non-reality or illusion. You know, what's real, what's real, what's not real, because we're here in the physical world, and it sure feels real, right? Well, as I said, that stuck in my head, and I don't remember exactly what I was doing, but I had my phone, and a YouTube flash came across my phone. You know, when they just show what's maybe something new that's been posted by one of the stations, I guess, that I subscribe to, and it was a Goldsmith tape, Joel Goldsmith tape called "Mind Imbued with Truth." And it's tape 222B if you want to check it out. It's fabulous. So for some reason, at that moment, I just started listening to it. Usually I'll look at them and then I'll go back and take a look later or whatever. But I started listening to it right then. And of course, it was exactly what I needed to hear. I haven't listened to Joel in a while because I've been really immersed in New Thought and Neville and Anderson and of course Alan Watts. So it was a lesson, or it is a lesson that was absolutely rich because it put words to what I could feel but didn't have words for. So I want to talk about reality and illusion and faith and hope and self-concept because they all go together. They all go together. So Shankara said that only that which is eternal or changeless is real. Therefore, Brahman or God is the only reality, and God constitutes our being. Therefore, the infinite self of every man is reality, and everything we see outside of ourselves, to include our bodies, is temporal. Nothing aside from Source is permanent or eternal, but Source is all that is. God fills all space, and there's no one outside of God's grace. No one, no living thing, because God is all life. God is. Within us is the kingdom of God, the spiritual storehouse, which contains everything that makes for a fulfilling and happy life. Even though all that we seek we are, if we don't know that, and even when we do, intellectually anyway, we seek those things in the outer world of illusion because we're in a physical experience right now. We are in the world. But again, to quote Jesus, be in the world, but not of it. And that's the truth of who we are. We're in the world, but we're not of it, especially when we realize that the self of us is God. And that's where we place our dependence. That's where we get fed. That's where we live from. Humanhood, as Joel would say, is a sense of separation from God. It's the Adamic dream, which, as Joel calls it, a state of mortal illusion that includes sin and death, lack and limitations as quote-unquote givens if you're in the physical plane. I mean, those are what those are. It's easy to expect those if you have no concept of who you truly are as the individualization of source. It's easy to accept those because we see them. We are living in and navigating through this psychic sea, which is the emotions and thoughts of every person who has ever been on this earth, ever. And they all just contribute to this universal consciousness. And so we are always susceptible to that. So that is a constant. And along with that is everything that we were taught as children, from parents who, and I just want to believe they gave us the best they could. I just want to believe that. And I know that's not always true. I know. But what they wanted to do, I think their primary motivation was to keep us alive, kind of to scare us enough to keep us alive until we could keep ourselves alive. So, it was a lot of fear. Don't do this, don't do that. There wasn't a lot of go out and fly, little bird. There wasn't, because a little bird could be eaten by something, or something could happen to us. So anyway, all of those things, plus then added to it, is our experience, right? Our experience, what we know, how we know things are, the ego that wants to keep us safe and separate, that makes the world and everyone in it an enemy, something and someone we should fear. That's what ego does. And because it wants to rule, because it is mortal, it dies with the physical body. So there's all these things and the feedback that we get, and all of those things contribute to our self-concept. And so, this, as I said, it's just we have all this stuff in the physical that is just a part of this experience. But we are not separate from God. We are not separate from God. And humanhood, with its lack, fear, limitation, restriction, sin, sickness, death, illusion is illusion. So Joel said that even human good, what we see as good, is as illusory as human bad, because they both constantly change. Example, if you're out of a job, that's bad. But as soon as you get a job, that's good. But there's no guarantee that you'll have that job for any length of time. That's the illusion. That's the illusion. Good health is the same thing. Good health is good. But tomorrow you might wake up with a cold, or you might break your arm, and that's bad. But both the cold and the arm will heal, and that's good again. Or you may have a lot of money or investments, and something happens with the economy and you lose it. Human good, human bad. Life on earth is constant change. We never know. So if we are banking on the money in the bank, the good health that we have right now, or a brand new job, it's going to change because we're here in this incarnation. It changes. It is in flux. Life is in flux. This experience is in flux. So when we decide that we want, nothing but a happy ending, we're just spitting in the wind, And when we want the good and only the good, which we do, then we start clinging to that and hanging on, and we suffer. We suffer because life is change. And as the Buddha said, it's not life that causes suffering. It's the demand that we make upon it to be different than it is that does. But again, when you are believing in a thing, a material thing, to make you happy or fulfilled, that's the illusion. That's the illusion. Joel said, if wealth is dependent on your dollars, wealth is an illusion because dollars can disappear. The body is not an illusion. Money is not an illusion. But your sense of body or money is illusion. Money is real, your body is real, your job is real, but the illusion is the belief that they will save you, that they will fulfill you and sustain you. Joel said, I live by the grace of God, not by money or vitamins. Vitamins are fine to you know, keep your body strong, but they're not going to keep you alive, you know? I live by, sorry, I interrupted Joel. I live by the grace of God, not by money or vitamins. I have money and health by the grace of God. Money and health is given us by the grace of God. So we get it backwards. We look at the thing, the creation, and forget about the source of the creation. And we can understand this as supply. Supply is what we need when we need it. And it can be anything. It can be money, health, a job, an idea, a call from a friend, a goldsmith tape, just exactly when I needed it. That was supply. That was supply in action. But the thing about supply is that supply is spiritual. Supply is spiritual, incorporeal. Money, health, all the other things are demonstrations of supply. And just like we can't see life or consciousness, what we see in the material world, as in trees, animals, ourselves, our body, you know, all the living things are the demonstrations of life. And everything else that we see are the demonstrations of consciousness. Consciousness is cause. The material world is the effect of consciousness. Supply is the grace of God, the spiritual storehouse within us. So Joel said, and this is the deal. This was the deal for me. My mind imbued with the truth that I and the Father are one is the only reality. And the mind imbued with that truth becomes the law of harmony unto my body, my business, my health, my relationships, every aspect of life. That is so powerful. You could take that one sentence, and the mind imbued with that truth becomes the law of harmony unto my body, business, health, relationships, every aspect of life. And meditate on that and let it expand for a year. I mean, really, that's it. And the thing is that's us. We are one with the Father. All that is, we're the individualization of Source. That's not something we have to find. That's not something we have to work to become. It is us. Here and now. And what we don't have to become it, obviously, but we have to discover it. We have to discover the truth of that for ourselves. We have to know it. And the only way to do that is to practice the presence of God, is to get quiet and be in a space where you can just be and experience, as Neville called it, that formless, faceless, infinite life, infinite presence. That I am. That I am. I am that I am. And just put your whole weight down in it and just see what happens. Just be there. That's a healing, because that shifts your space instantly. Well, as he said, it becomes the law of harmony unto my body, unto my business, my health. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, you should know that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit that you received from God and that lives in you. You don't own yourselves. That's the King James Version, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Joel said, everything I have and do is the temple of the living God. My body is the temple of the living God. My business is the temple of the living God. My income is the temple of the living God. My home, my family are the temples of the living God. A mind imbued with truth becomes the law unto any situation and every situation. An illusion is never objectified. So the body, world, etc. are not illusions. But the idea that you can depend on them is an illusion. The idea that you are subject to them or that they have power is an illusion. The power that appears in the world, whether it's a dictator or whatever it is, war, whatever it is temporal. And everything that comes into being passes away. The pendulum always swings because we live in a world that is relative. Bad cannot win out because it needs good to survive, and vice versa. We only know whether something is bad or good because we know its opposite. Everything is relative. Alan Watts said, "We think space is the background for the solid thing we're looking at. And the solid thing is what's important. But space is the relationship between solids. If there weren't any space, we wouldn't see the solid. If it were all solid, it would all blend together." So it is, everything in this world is temporal, but good and bad grow together. They grow up together. Light and dark, beauty and ugliness. It all, we don't know one without knowing the other. It is all relative. And that brings me to faith and hope. If you know that I and my Father are one, that all the Father has is mine, that is faith. That knowingness, that ownership of that is faith. And if you are counting on your money or health or relationship to be happy or fulfilled, that's hope. That's hope, right? Well, I hope it. I hope I keep this job. I hope I don't get the flu. I hope. Hope is empty. Hope's empty. Hope's futile. It just is in this because it is focused on the temporal. That's why. It's focused on the temp. It's a misfocus. Let's put it that way. Faith, on the other hand, is fearless, and its foundation is truth, God, source. No matter what happens in the material world, the kingdom of God is still within me. I mean, that doesn't change. I am still the individualization of source. Everything I need is within me, and I can be the instrument through which it demonstrates. My body's the temple of the living God. It is the instrument through which God demonstrates in the physical plane. And the thing is that I think my feeling is that we have a responsibility to be that, to demonstrate that this body is the temple of the living God. So anyway, I might be getting off track a little bit there, but the only thing that I can depend on is source within me, is my Father, and that is my supply. That's my supply. The substance of supply is faith. It's the peace that passes understanding, that gets us out of the way for what we need to manifest. When you sit in that quiet space and you feel your energy shift, it's like maybe there was a problem, maybe something happened that threw you off your game, and you just sit and get quiet, even for a few minutes, and just experience that presence. That peace that comes in is healing. It's the healing. Whether it's a healing of your energy, of anxiousness, sadness, whatever it is, or it's something that you need to address in the physical, a problem or an issue or something that's come up. When that peace takes over, That's your it, Joel called it a click. You know, a click that you know you're good. You know you're good. No matter what anything looks like, you know you're good. You know it's done. And you can relax. And again, as I said, I love the expression, put your full weight down in it. And it's done. That peace is the substance of supply. So Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Neville wrote, "A miracle is the name given by those who have no faith to the works of faith." He's very plain spoken. He said, "In all ages of history, faith has played a major role. It permeates all the great religions of the world. It is woven all through mythology. And yet today it is almost universally misunderstood. Contrary to popular opinion, the efficacy, I'm going to say efficiency, you know what I mean, the working, I don't know why I can't pronounce that word, but I'm having a hard time. The working of faith is not due to the work of any outside agency. It is from first to last an activity of your own consciousness." So we grow our faith, just like we grow, you know, anything else. Our dependence on source, our reliance is a better word, maybe, on source. We grow those things, and we grow them through our experience and our communication with God, with source, with practicing the presence. Continuing with faith, there. Alan Watts on alanwatts.org has a series of lectures called the Essential Lectures. And I just love them. I've listened to them a lot, the different ones. And they're like 27 minutes long. It was a show that he did, a TV show. So you see him talking. And there's one that's called God. And he begins this lecture by saying that religion has given people a concept of God, but God is the unknown, and faith is trusting the unknown. He said, people say they cannot face life unless they can believe in a just and loving God. And he said, the root word of belief is an Anglo-Saxon word, leif, L-I-E-F. And that word means to wish. So the word belief means a strong wish. Real faith does not need beliefs. Faith is an openness of trust, like swimming. He said, if you swim, you do not fight the water, but you flow with it, letting the water hold you up. It is the opposite of clinging or holding on. The highest image of God is unseen being, intangible, which is space. We have no image, but we have to trust it. To trust in a God that we cannot conceive is a much higher expression of faith than a conception that we cling to. He said, let go of efforts to grasp or hold on to life with your intellect. Faith is the trust in a God that you cannot see, but you must trust. His breathing out is an act of faith. We don't hold on to our breath for fear that we're not going to be able to breathe more air. We breathe out because we know we're going to take in a breath as soon as we breathe out. He said, letting go is the fundamental attitude of faith. When you know that you don't know, you really know. And I just love that. I love that when you know that you don't know, that you just give it over, you really do know. Because then again, here comes that peace that passes understanding. I don't understand it, but I'm good. You know, I'm just good. I feel different. I feel safe. I feel like I've just breathed out. You know, I've just exhaled and can take a breath in without anxiousness or anxiety. And that brings me back around to self-concept. Pardon my voice. And back to Joel. Again, and I'm going to repeat it, my mind imbued with the truth that I and the Father are one is the only reality. And the mind imbued with that truth becomes the law of harmony unto my body, my business, my health, my relationships, every aspect of life. I and the Father are one encompasses everything. Knowing that encompasses everything because God simply is eternal, immortal, universal, infinite. Therefore, we are eternal, immortal, universal, and infinite. So, and because that one statement, that one realization encompasses everything, that's why we can let go and relinquish all power, control, and responsibility for everything, which is God, to everything, which is God, and which is our oneness with God, our realization, our knowing, our faith in our oneness with the Father. Excuse me. I'm going to take a drink of tea. Sometimes that helps, sometimes it makes it worse. All that God is, you are. The kingdom of heaven is within you. So I'm talking again under the heading of self-concept. The kingdom of heaven is within you. You're not small. And whatever beliefs you hold that make you feel small are lies. They're illusions. You're believing in a circumstance. You're believing in something temporal that makes you feel small. When all that is constitutes your being. If you want more in your life, you have to be more. You have to own that and become more. If you're looking to manifest anything greater than what you're experiencing, you have to become that thing in order to have it. Because like attracts like. You know, what you vibrate at, you are. And you have to become more because, again, your self-concept dictates your experience. We attract what we are, what we think, what we believe. So we must think and believe in alignment with what we want to be. Because once again, my mind imbued with truth becomes the law of harmony unto my entire experience, whatever it is, any situation, every situation. So when our focus is on the source of health, love, money, etc., our oneness with God, then our experience of health, love, money, etc., will be better than we could ever think. Because it comes, and this is hard to put words to. It comes imbued with freedom. Whatever it is, it comes imbued with freedom. You know, when we know that, okay, here's this money, and it's from the storehouse that is God in me, then I can freely use it. I can freely give it. I don't have to hold on to it. In fact, if I hold on to it, I freeze it in place. Money is energy. And giving is what we're to do with it. You know, we are the inlet and outlet of supply. We are a circle with supply. Again, whatever that is, when we need it, what we need, when we need it. And we are the inlet and outlet, meaning we are that for whoever we encounter. So my conscious oneness with God constitutes my oneness with all spiritual being, idea, and thing. It is a universal circle, being the inlet and outlet of supply. The inlet and outlet of grace. infinite divine wisdom and all that it encompasses, infinite divine love and all that it encompasses, infinite divine supply, all that it encompasses. And it's all everything, everything. So that experience, when we are the temple of the living God, the instrument through which it flows, the transparency through which the Father is continually pouring forth dominion into the physical plane, when we are that, then we're not attached. We have someone, if that love is having someone in our life, we're not grasping and clinging to that relationship. We see them for who they are. A blessing, someone in our life. Again, there's that circle, that inlet and outlet of supply between another person, an inlet and outlet of love. But there's no clinging because we know that this is an expression of the infinite, an expression. And I can freely love, freely give, and freely receive. It just takes all ownership, control, clinging, and fear out of the equation. And it is freely given by God, and we are just the instruments through which it flows. And that is the most interesting space to be in. It's just lovely because we are in flow. We are absolutely in flow. It's fantastic, and and that too is another interesting thing to just think about. Surrender. That's what that surrender is. I don't know. I don't know how to do this, but you do. That which lives me knows is all, is everything. Therefore, I can surrender everything to it, and I can just stand back. That's success. That's success. It is just getting out of the way so that we are that clear instrument because we're self-complete, self-contained. And God is the maintaining, sustaining, and governing principle of our lives if we allow it. So knowing this and thinking of it in terms of self-concept is extremely powerful. It's like, well, we don't have to work at that. All I have to do is realize who I am. All I have to do is be. Be. Decide what I want to demonstrate in this world. What I want to demonstrate as me, the kind of person I want to be, and realize that that person exists already within me. So I can relax into the fact that that's the truth and watch the truth demonstrate. Man, it's incredible. It's just incredible. Well, last week, I got my monthly email from the Reverend Ike Legacy, and I included this in my Power Peak article, but it was just, again, here it is, supply drops into my mailbox, my email box. Just as I'm thinking about this stuff, and talking about it. And they wrote, "As a child of God, wherever you go, go with thanksgiving in your heart. Go with a smile on your lips. And know that whatever you believe about yourself seals your own destiny. Some people give external causes power over them. They say, 'I don't succeed because of this, because of that, because of him, or because of her.' But only one thing brings you success or failure, and that is what you believe about yourself. The only way you can ever be separated from God is in mistaken belief. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him." That's 1 John 4:16. Don't ever forget your divine sonship, that you truly are a child of God. I love that. I love that. Wow. So, since I started with Shankara, I want to end with one of his poems. And the book of Shankara's that basically is the nutshell of his teachings on oneness, on non, actually, it's not oneness, it's non-duality. Because oneness implies a second, right? Relativity. So it's his teachings on non-duality, and it's called the crest jewel of discrimination. So this poem is just lovely, and I think it's a great punctuation mark for the show. O Lord, dweller within, you are the light in the heart's lotus. Om is your very self. Om, holiest word, seed and source of the scriptures. Logic cannot discover you, Lord, but the yogis know you in meditation. In you are all God's faces, his forms and aspects. In you we find the guru. In every heart you are. And if but once only a man will open his mind to receive you, truly that man is free forever. Shankara. So I think the circle's been made. I think it has, and I hope that you found that valuable. I know we're a couple minutes away, but I think I'm gonna stop here because really and truly, I don't have anything else to say. I feel complete, as we used to say at the Institute. That feels complete, and it does. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that we listen to the world, the way that we relate to the world, because indeed the world is us pushed outward. Everything outside of you is as much you as what's inside your skin. And if the only thing in the world you have control over is you have everything, and you can change everything. So have a very blessed week, and I would love to have you join me Thursday night for class. It's the only public class after this one. They're all private from here on out. So thank you again for being here. Have a very blessed week, and please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Goodbye, everyone.